Teaching and learning during COVID-19 has presented unprecedented challenges. Where do you go for answers? Busted Pencils. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7.
Oh, and welcome back, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Incredible guest in the Cone Zone, Alfie Cone. Check out alfiecone.org. Blogs, books, it's all there. But we're going after learning loss. We had a nice lesson the first part of the show defining, if I am a progressive educator, what am I doing? What am I thinking? Oh, and if I am, this learning loss thing is troubling because it really doesn't line up with progressive ideas. But as we were leaving that and coming back into this, I was posing the question to Alfie saying, are we, though, the concern with learning loss, is it a concern on traditionalists' part that as there is some form of a pre-post or post-COVID, the fact that all of the inequities that kids have that had before the pandemic that have now been laid bare, all of the incredibly horrible learning situations, all of the kids that weren't served well by tradition. We've had guests like Gloria Ladson Billings on the show saying, are we going to step into a post-COVID portal moment and say, progressive education, deep learning, deep thinking, no inequities? Is that the learning loss motivation to say, wait a minute, these progressives are going to sneak in and all of a sudden take over public schools? Or is that too far-fetched, Alfie?
I'm skeptical of that. I mean, I don't have data either way, but I don't think, unfortunately, that progressives constitute a sufficiently large or significant enough constituency that the traditionalists are afraid of that. They're afraid of things that progressives have a different view on, as we talked about earlier.
Right.
But, I don't think they're afraid that progressives will take over. I mean, I've been making the case that some of the things that changed during the pandemic for temporary reasons, like suspending grading because it just isn't fair, or having pass-fail grading, it isn't fair to students given what they're suffering from at home, their lack of internet connection in some cases, you can't penalize them for that. And suspending standardized tests for the same reason. My argument as a progressive is let's take advantage of this moment to pivot and argue that tests and grades never made sense and that it shouldn't be just a temporary moratorium, that we should reconsider whether the alternatives to authentic assessment are better anyway. But that's not happening for the most part, and that's not surprising.
Darn it. It's not supposed to be not surprising, and I agree with you, but at the same time, I want to lift the spirits of people and go, but we have an opportunity post-pandemic, as you just said. Guess what? Without homework, without standardized tests, without grades, the earth did not stop rotating.
Yeah, but they're claiming without those things, you know, kids are falling behind without good solid evidence to support it, and therefore we need to go back to the status quo rather than using this as a learning moment, which is unfortunate. I'm fearful that what people are going to take from this is, hey, we've invested in all this equipment and training for online instruction. Let's keep that going, even though it's clearly inferior to being in the same room together for most of the people. It's sort of like decades ago, local TV stations invested a huge amount of money in these mobile trucks so they could be, and then once they spent the money on it, they have to keep using it even when they didn't need it. And so you would see reporters saying, hello, I'm at the airport where this morning,
right?
You know,
and there's the truck,
because they invested in the equipment. Right. And I'm afraid that's what's going to happen, you know, with instead of learning the right lessons from that we can do without tests and grades and so on, they're going to learn the wrong lessons and say, hey, we apparently can just look at screens all day and use apps, and that will work just as well. Let's keep that up even when the
pandemic. I have seen that, and I worry about that, particularly from the teaching end. And as I've been, you know, this quote teacher shortage, if people won't actually step up and go, hey, we don't need to worry about a teaching shortage at this point. You know, as you just said, we could beam a teacher to 150 students now instead of 25. What are you worried about? And I get concerned about that. But then even an op-ed I just recently saw in Politico, the former dean at Howard, Leslie, and I'm drawing a blank on her last name, but where she was really talking about the fact that she's concerned about this, particularly that who will end up having the worst of electronic learning, but the kids who already were pre-COVID, as we talked about, suffering from inequities to begin with.
Yeah. So I'm certainly sympathetic to people who talked about learning loss, summer and COVID learning loss, because they're concerned mostly about inequities and some kids falling farther behind. I share the concern about equity, but that assumes too much about what was happening when kids were in school, during which some kids fell behind in important ways, mostly because in the name of top-down corporate-styled test-driven school reform, the schools that delivered the pedagogy of poverty, as the late Martin Haberman from Wisconsin put it,
right,
they were getting an inferior education, and now we double down on that. So there has been an equity problem in schools that's hardly a unique feature of the time during which they've been out of school.
Yeah, and actually, I want to be clear about that. That's that. In fact, Leslie Fenwick and the people I've been talking to—that's their thing. Is it's like, wait a minute, things were bad pre-COVID. We don't want them to be even worse.
No, that's right. That's okay. Right. I remember when Leslie Fenwick was at Harvard, by the way.
Right? Yeah, right. She was at Harvard, too.
She was being considered briefly, I think, for the Secretary of Education.
Yes, there were a bunch of us, you know, Education Deans for Justice and Equity, a big group. We were advocating and rallying, but we ended up not getting. And in fact, you know, as you just said, though. So, okay, but.
Well, one piece, if I can, quickly, sure, to connect it back to what we were talking about earlier with the progressive education.
Thank you.
Using online instruction. I don't call it online learning until it's demonstrated to me that actual learning has taken place. That's a leap of faith. Online instruction also taps into a deeply traditional, which is to say anti-progressive, assumption about learning, which is that, and you reminded me of this when you said one teacher can teach 100 infinite number of kids, that assumes that teaching is the delivery of information,
right,
into passive receptacles. And this is problematic also with higher education. Use of online instruction and lectures, because we assume that it's just about, I know a bunch of stuff, I'm the teacher, you don't, listen up, here it comes. But progressive education starts with the understanding, based on cognitive science, that human beings, including very short human beings, are active meaning makers who are constructing sense. And that requires an active and interactive approach that is not at all just about receiving stuff. Hence, online instruction is even less appropriate when you have a better understanding of the nature of learning in the first place.
Wow. So now we're worried about learning loss. We're worried about the continuation of smart, as they say, or maybe it's not smart, but this electronic learning as we go post-COVID. And I want to rally back, though, and say, wait a minute, though. I'm going to, talk about this and continue to rally people who are listening to Busted Pencils, listening to people like Alfie Cohn, listening to Gloria Ladson-Billings, listening to Leslie Fenwick, to say that we have a moment here in post-COVID. Are we going to say learning matters? And if we say learning matters, we're not going to engage in learning loss discussions. Is that a pretty clear statement, Alfie?
And we're going to use the opportunity to explore what is meant by learning and how inadequate that concept is on the part of traditionalists.
Well, if we ever get to actually doing that, that's going to be awesome. And I can't wait to do that show with you. Alfie Cohn, As always, thank you so much for your time on Busted Pencils. Everybody out there, the number is 844-967-2789. Go to Alfie's webpage, alfiecohn.org. Check out all of the blogs, order the books, do it all. Alfie Cohn, thanks again. Thanks for Busting Pencils.
Always a pleasure.
And we will be back right after the break.